Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
As we roll into the third hour of the program, Petros Papadakis scheduled to join us next. Want to let you know, we have had an absolute loaded show so far. WWE champion Drew McIntyre on with us in the first hour. Chad Withrow, one of my buddies that now works with us at Outkick, in the second hour of the program. Petros Papadakis just swung by and is scheduled, I'm told, to join us in the third hour of the program. We've got a lot to dive into with him. We have been all over the place on stories. We started off the show talking about Deshaun Watson and the Texans drama. We have talked about Tom Brady and the statement that he has made in terms of the great debate between Brady and Belichick and who was the most responsible for that dynasty. And as we start off the third hour here, what I would say is get your popcorn on this Tennessee coaching search. Because, again, I love college football and the NFL more than anything in the world of sports. We have only got two games left. AFC championship game, big question remains, Patrick Mahomes. We're going to talk to Dr. David Chow, pro football doc, later this week again to get the latest on Patrick Mahomes. But we have got a battle between gunslingers in Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, aging gunslingers, I would say. And then we've got that scenario in the AFC championship game where we know Josh Allen is playing. And I'm going to unpack this storyline quite a bit during the course of the week. But what we have been talking about in that Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson game, I said that whoever won that game was going to get a chance to step up to the plate and become the challenger for Patrick Mahomes. And it's interesting because Brady is over there in the NFC championship game and he just vanquished Drew Brees. They had that amazing moment after the game where they're standing on the field talking. Brees left on his shield, which is what you hear a lot of top athletes say they want to do. Go out with your best effort, and if you lose, that's the way it goes. Well, Brees just didn't have anything left. He's the gladiator. He's on the field. He got bested by Tom Brady. Okay, Brady is the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. I don't think there's any argument at all anymore. In fact, I think you can make the case, as I did at the start of the second hour, that Tom Brady is the greatest athlete in team sports that any of us have ever seen in our lives. I think you can make that argument now. And if Brady were to go on and he were to win another Super Bowl, even to go to a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay in the first year, I think it just further solidifies that 10th different Super Bowl. It's crazy. He's already in his 14th different conference championship game. But at some point, we are going to have Aaron Rodgers, and he's going to join Drew Brees, and he's going to join Tom Brady. These are the guys that we have watched for a generation. But I don't know how many years they've got left. Now, Brady may play till he's 50. The way Aaron Rodgers is playing right now, he may play till he's 45 too. And so maybe we still got 7 or 8 good years left potentially out of these guys, which is crazy. But probably not. What we do have, and we know we have, is Patrick Mahomes, theoretically, if he takes the field, is going to try to go to his third straight AFC championship game. Lost the first year to Brady, wins the Super Bowl last year. This year, he is playing against Josh Allen, assuming he takes the field. Again, all those prerequisites. He's okay, you know, with the concussion issues, everything else. What, so far, Patrick Mahomes has not had is an actual competitor, a rival. Someone who can challenge him. And I told you that the storyline, fair or foul, coming out of that Ravens game against the Bills, whichever young quarterback emerged, and it is now Josh Allen, was going to be the guy that everybody put on the stage and said, this is the potential challenger to Patrick Mahomes. But here's what has to happen. Josh Allen has to win. It's not enough to just get there. Everybody has wanted to say, oh, it's Lamar Jackson. Oh, it's Deshaun Watson. Oh, it's Josh Allen. Oh, it's Baker Mayfield. So far, Patrick Mahomes reigns supreme. He is on the throne. No one else is close to him. This is Josh Allen's opportunity. Frankly, the Bills haven't been very good so far. They got outgained by the Indianapolis Colts. Were fortunate to win in that first game. Wild card round. They weren't really that good. Certainly not on the offensive side of the ball against the Baltimore Ravens. Now, to be fair, Stephon Diggs made one play, scores a touchdown. But otherwise, for much of the game, the Buffalo Bills offense was not really present. And Josh Allen has just been okay. But none of that matters if he goes on the road against Patrick Mahomes, or for that matter, Chad Henne, although you'd rather beat Patrick Mahomes if you're Josh Allen, although I don't think Bills fans care. But in terms of legitimizing yourself, getting to a Super Bowl in year three would be an incredible accomplishment for Josh Allen. And we now know, it appears, that Brian Daboll is going to be staying as his offensive coordinator for at least another year in Buffalo, which is pretty massive. Because the expectation had been that Daboll was going to be going to take over as the head coach of the LA Chargers. Instead, they went a different direction. And now we're in a situation where Josh Allen's going to get the same offensive coordinator for 2 years in a row. But this is his opportunity to kick down the door and say, I'm here and the Bills are for real and we are going to be a threat for several years into the future. If he loses and Patrick Mahomes goes back to the Super Bowl, we're kind of where we finished last year, which is there are a lot of aging guys. And it wouldn't stun me at all, by the way, if Brady or if Rodgers beat the Chiefs, because the Chiefs really haven't been playing that well. They're 1-8 in their last 9 games against the number. All of them single-digit wins, basically. They've been playing to the level of competition. Now, the divisional round game is a little bit different because Mahomes got injured. And at the time that he was injured, the Chiefs were up pretty comfortably and looked like they were going to be able to win that game going away. So the final 20 minutes with Chad Henne isn't necessarily representative of what the larger game would have been. But that, to me, is by far the most interesting storyline in the AFC Championship game. Can the Bills step forward, and is Josh Allen ready to demonstrate that he's a threat to Patrick Mahomes? Or is Patrick Mahomes going to continue his reign ascendant on the throne with nobody else close to him? Now, the NFC Championship game, to me, Brady's already made a tremendous statement. If he goes to the Super Bowl, I'm not sure we think that much differently about Tom Brady. Yes, he goes to a 10th, but he's already made the statement in getting in the first year of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to the NFC Championship game. Again, hate to jump on Cowboys here, but he's somewhere where the Cowboys haven't been in 25 years in the NFC Championship game in the first year that he's there with the Bucs. And so, I think if he is able to go to the Super Bowl, it's an incredible accomplishment. But getting to where he is right now in year one in a COVID year with all these new teammates is an incredible accomplishment. And I'm not sure exactly where he goes from here. But to me, he's already made that statement. For me, Aaron Rodgers is the guy who has a lot more to gain. Because getting that second Super Bowl, if you are Aaron Rodgers, is a differentiator in terms of his longtime legacy. Yes, one makes you a made man in the NFL, but it's that second Super Bowl that makes you in many ways legendary. And I'm not sure how many more years Aaron Rodgers is going to play, but if you think about the trajectory of Aaron Rodgers from April, when we all learn that there's a quarterback being drafted in the first round to potentially replace Aaron Rodgers, to now when Aaron Rodgers is the presumptive MVP and his team is favored to win at Lambeau at home and go down to Tampa Bay and play for another Super Bowl, I mean, that is a pretty incredible trajectory in the space of less than a year for Aaron Rodgers to potentially be able to pull off. So I can't wait to see how all these games are going to be shaken out.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
That music that you hear, the sweet melodic tunes of Taylor Swift, it can only mean one man is scheduled to stride. I was trying to think of the right phrase there. Across the Outkick stage the one, the only, Petros Papadakis, AM 570 LA Sports, the Petros and Money Show. Petros, I got to be honest with you. Football's almost over. College football's completely over. And I am all in on the new season of The Bachelor. And I know that you are a tried and true Bachelor fan.
Well, no. That's not. See, I don't want it. I don't want it portrayed nationally like that.
Yes.
Because that's not
how would
true.
You portray it?
Well, there's a way that this happened. Years ago, when my wife and I were dating, I lived in San Pedro in a condominium, which is not the end of the world in the city of Los Angeles, but you can see it from there. Well, that's where the guys in The Usual Suspects were hid out, if you've ever seen that movie.
Oh, yeah.
My wife, who was a Los Angeles city girl for a lot of her life, would come down, and we were, you know, engaged or on that track, and she would say, look, I'll come down to your desolate house, but you have to watch this show that I usually watch with my girlfriends on Monday night. So I would watch the show, and it's painful, you know, like unless you're fast-forwarding and kind of doing work on it, it's a painful watch to go through all the network filler that they do just to fill the 2 or 3 hours that they're going through. I mean, you're not a patient guy. You're a little bit like me, Clay. It's hard, you know. And I would just sit there just screaming and yelling at the TV and sticking my face between the couch cushions and just making it horrible for my wife because the show made me so uncomfortable. And she stopped watching it because I was so insufferable with her while she was trying to watch it. And then I would go on the radio the next day and complain about the show. And I would go on a popular show in L.A., Kevin and Bean on K-Rock, which was on for, you know, 40 years or something, and do a Bachelor report with a guy named Ralph Garman. And it just kind of became a thing. We started to cut clips and play clips and there's a certain time there was like 3 or 4 different radio shows that we did a Bachelor report on every week, but it was all based on my disdain for the show and its premise and particularly the host. But I can't say that I'm not entertained by it because I am kind of, especially this season, because I kind of like the setup in Pennsylvania. It's a lot less about, you know, whatever location they're in, like Vietnam or something, and they can just get more drama going. And I like The Bachelor this year, Clay. I think this guy, Matt, seems like a pretty good guy, a former mid-card jobber type of wide receiver at Wake Forest and a commercial real estate guy in New York. Seems like he's a lot more qualified than most of the people they've had on this show in years.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because they have had a lot of very unlikable bachelors. Like Juan Pablo, you know, the former soccer star.
Well, we made friends with Juan Pablo.
You get along with him now?
Well, we had him on. And when we had him on, I had a connection in person. He was at Dodger Stadium working for the Venezuelan government, I think, or something in the baseball world.
Yeah.
And we had a moment, you know, where I figured out what happened with Juan Pablo. Juan Pablo just stopped playing the game, you know, and that's on them for casting him. He just stopped playing the game. He wasn't going to tell anybody he was in love with anybody.
Right.
He was over it. It pissed off Chris Harrison to no end, and that was that. But they chose a bachelor who didn't really want to go through with the process. So for that, you know, I blame the bachelor. And I mean, I think this girl Victoria this year,
she's got to be an actress, right? I mean, that can't be real.
Yeah, she's a plant, and it is sad because I was talking about this last week on the air. I did date a girl like that talked exactly like that,
like Victoria. Yeah,
yeah.
Who's from L.A.?
Fry. Yeah. What do you mean? I don't. What are you saying, Petros? What are you gonna do? Yeah. I'm downstairs. I want to come over. But it doesn't feel real with her, and there's nothing you can put past this production, right?
Right.
Like absolutely nothing. And, I mean, they'll do anything. They'd sell their grandmother's liver to the devil for one tier on one contestant for 1 second of network television. I mean, they are the devil, the people that put on this reality TV. But they are good at it, especially the people that collect it and make a show out of it. Because just think of just the chaos that this is, like 30
oh, yeah.
women running around. I mean, somebody's got to log all that tape and edit it and put it together and make a time out of it and play the music. That's one funny thing I learned about The Bachelor over these 20 years is, like, from music people, no one makes any money anymore on The Bachelor because in the first 3 years, they have, like, a piano sound for every thing that will happen. They have like a suspenseful sound for a girl that's about to tell him that her father died in a plane accident with a snowboard strapped to his back and a paintball gun. You know, they have a sound for that.
Yes.
It's all logged and paid for already. And it really is kind of an amazing reality machine, but I just enjoy the human conflict and the idiots.
Yeah, well, join the club. And there are people out there who are saying, like, oh, my God. First of all, if you're not aware that Petros and I will talk about The Bachelor, this is like when football ends, this is my new Monday Night Football. Right now, we may have to bump because the challenge becomes getting everybody to have watched it on the Monday night because people got kids and everything else. Do you think we should move you to Wednesday until The Bachelor is over so that both of us can have watched the entirety of the most recent episode? Because I think there's probably out there also, like, I haven't been able to watch the most recent Monday night episode yet. You haven't really either. Sometimes it's a challenge to get it all watched before Tuesday morning.
Yeah, it's not easy, especially if you have to ride around it and it becomes a job. It's really infuriating. Especially
and it's a 2 or 3 hour specials now, and you have to wait on the West Coast until the thing airs after it already airs on the East Coast.
Exactly right, Clay. So, yeah, I can look. I don't have my fingers on the strings of the Outkick Empire. It's you. So if you want to move me, I'll move. I'm a flexible.
What percentage of our audience do you think watches any moment of The Bachelor?
Well, I can say that I've been doing a Bachelor. I did not do because I got really busy during football season.
Yeah, it's always the same. When they have the ones that go on during football season, I can't keep up with those. I tend to miss
those. This was the first one I haven't covered in years, and I didn't cover the Claire, and then it went to someone. I don't know what happened last season. So,
right.
I did not cover it because we were doing a lot of football, and I was calling a lot of games. But I've been doing this for years, and nothing is more polarizing with our listeners. You know, half the people say, and when I did,
it's the greatest thing ever, right?
Well, when I didn't do it, I got a lot of complaints, you know, not only from men who said, you know, now I'm not up on it, you know, just from listening to your show and I can't converse with people,
right?
You know, that actually do it. And then a lot of women, like, you know, this was my favorite part of the show. You know, I play these, things for my friends, the podcast and the report. So I had to bring it back, and I have. So, but I still get, you know, when I do the Bachelor report today at like 5 o'clock or whenever, a bunch of people are going to text, you know, see you later. You know, they'll send a tweet.
I hate you. Like, here we go again.
Nope. Yeah. You know, I'll get those tweets and stuff. But then if I say I'm not going to do it, I get hit with a flood of who the hell do you think you are? You know, you owe this to us. So, you know, I'm just a fart in a whirlwind.
Speaking of, I kind of think it's cool. I don't know why they picked Pennsylvania, and you may know the answer to this. They basically,
probably because it was cheap.
I mean, but they make a lot of money on this show. I mean, they couldn't usually.
Yeah,
they
but
have
you know
Bachelor.
What their but do you know what their travel budget is?
No earthly idea.
It is zero
because everything has to get paid for by the
everything is sponsored. Everything is done in trade.
Yeah.
So they have zero. Like, I know way too much about this show. When I was the host of a show called Pros versus Joes before HDTV on Spike, the director of The Bachelor was our lead camera guy. He probably still is, a guy named German. The only thing he didn't direct was a rose ceremony because that required like 30 cameras. You know, you have to have a camera on everybody's face at every moment.
Right.
But I do know that their travel budget is nothing. So wherever they are, they're there.
To basically advertise, yes,
right.
Like the location. Okay, well, that
so
makes sense because I can see. Because a huge number of times when they go on trips, I'm like, oh, I'd like to go there. And I imagine there are tons of people out there who do actually follow through. I've never followed through and done anything, you know, like related to The Bachelor, but I would imagine there are tons of people who do.
Well, then they're like, you know, Peru. You're like, oh, Peru.
Well, I'm just not sure if they can travel right now is what I was going to say. Like, I'm kind of curious.
They're not leaving. So
they're not. Oh, they're really like they created their own NBA style bubble at the resort in Pennsylvania.
Well, did you see he had a date last week where they were on like an ATV,
which was dangerous. They flipped the ATV, and I told my wife I felt like such a dad.
I was like, he's gonna throw her.
I knew that was gonna happen. I was like, and then one of them's gonna break an arm or something, and it's gonna be a disaster.
Yeah, they have a lot of outdoor stuff, and it does seem like they're kind of struggling for activities. But we're not there to watch activities or the bells ring in Buenos Aires. We're there for petty human drama that makes us feel better about our pathetic lives.
So do you think – so they obviously created – and this is funny for people out there who aren't aware. Like they created the Bachelor bubble, which is kind of like the NBA bubble or the NHL bubble. They tested everybody. I presume that they tested – like they took over this – what looks like a very nice hotel somewhere in Pennsylvania. How do you see this all shaking out before it's all said and done? Do you think they'll actually travel anywhere or do you think –
No, I don't think they're –
You don't think they'll do home visits or anything?
Oh, I don't know. I don't. They probably will bring them there, right? If they
potentially,
can. They'll just.
That's what I've been talking about with my wife.
Yeah, they'll just quarantine everybody, and bring them there. You know, I just working on that show, which was really eye opening to me.
The Pros Beat Joes. Yes.
Yeah, the only reason it was eye opening, you know, and people say, "Well, what the hell does that have to do with The Bachelor?" Well, I got to know that all of these people are the same people. You know, and they're this weird vagabond group of reality TV people.
That just jump from one show to another to do it.
Right. They shoot it. They're sound people. They're editors. They're lighting people, grips, you know. And, you know, they're all like, well, I slept on this guy's couch in Marrakesh during Amazing Race Season 4. And I'm, you know, this guy's sister-in-law is married to my brother. And they were grips on the first season of Survivor. And that's how deep the roots of this kind of business goes.
Yeah. Well, it's a challenging business, honestly. We talk about the actual, you know, reality people, but if you're in the middle of filming everything in Survivor, like that's a challenging thing to pull off, right? And
how about to light it up?
Yes.
And collect the information and, like I was saying, kind of make a story out of it. But that being said, like each one of these contestants on The Bachelor or Bachelorette has like a producer assigned to them. And that person is like the person, like you're Svengali, like the person that's like, you know, tonight you're going to tell them about the night you lost your virginity in a park, and you know you're going to, you know, I mean that's the person that manipulates that person. You know, tonight you're going to tell them about, you know, that thing that happened to you once where your father exploded before your eyes, you know, spontaneously combusting, you know, that kind of stuff. Like that's how they push the show, and you know then they'll interview you and you'll say tonight. It's the night I'm going to do it, and they'll play a little music, and then they'll cut to you actually doing it, and then everybody's reaction to you doing it, and it's just a serpent eating its tail, and probably one of the biblical signs to the end of the world.
And we'll both be watching every single Monday night, or Tuesday,
but eventually
we'll be watching it. Yes, for work. All right, so speaking of a serpent
eating its tail. Are you going to ask me about the Lakers now or something?
No, I thought I had an incredible transition. Speaking of a serpent eating its tail. Terrifying image. Is that what's going on with the Texans right now? With Deshaun Watson?
What about Tennessee?
Oh, well. We're just this. I don't know what's going to happen at Tennessee. This is a fun. Joel. I don't think our buddy Joel Klatt has been on Twitter in the 24 hours since Tennessee fired their head coach, because if he had, the first thing he would have done would have been to tweet me. But I actually, I talked in the second hour of the program, we talked some about this. I actually think Tennessee decided they wanted to fire Jeremy Pruitt. Didn't want to pay him the $12 million plus that he was owed. And so as soon as they got a report that there were improper activities going on from an NCAA basis, they just made the calculated decision, we're going to use this as justification to fire Pruitt. I mean, because...
Well, what about Fulmer?
Well, I think Fulmer's just basically riding off into the sunset. I mean, he's an aged guy, and I think Pruitt, he tried... This is what often happens, right?
Who will drag the Volunteers kicking and screaming into the 21st century?
Should be me. Should be me. They should. You know, I'm a humble guy. They should come to me and they should say, Clay Travis, you are in charge of conducting this entire investigation. You find the guy who's the coach. I think I could conduct the entire coaching search. I think I could get a winning coach in there. And then I've got like 18 other jobs. I'll let everybody else manage the equation. But what has been proven time after time in college sports, if you get the right coach, everything else works, right? I mean, that's really what it is. And Tennessee,
yeah, it has to be the head coach. But
head coach.
It's not just that. You know, if you really want a formula that can last you, you know, over a decade of success, it has to be a marriage between the university president, the athletic director, and the head coach. Those three people have to work in unison to have the place be successful. And if they all work together, you know, you have situations and transitions like you see in Oklahoma. If they don't, it's Tennessee,
yeah,
or USC.
Well, and really, I mean, the Tennessee problem, the implosion started with Lane Kiffin, right? Because the decision to fire Phil Fulmer, whether it was the right or wrong decision, can still be debated. But the decision to hire Lane Kiffin, who only stayed there a year, is what imploded everything. Because there were a lot of people who wanted that Tennessee job. Gary Patterson, for instance, that could have come in there and been very, very successful. And frankly, if Pete Carroll doesn't leave, I think Lane Kiffin would have done fine at Tennessee. Like, I don't necessarily think he would have won a national championship or something, but I think he would have been an 8 or 9 win coach at Tennessee and
it would
stayed
be
there for 5 or 6 years and been okay.
I don't know. You know, he really wasn't he wasn't the guy he is now. I mean,
he's better now than he was then, right? But, I mean,
both of those guys, I mean, as far as coaching goes, that's one thing, but they both needed to mature as people desperately.
Yes.
Steve Sarkisian and Lane Kiffin.
Right.
You know, so I don't know about that. Pete Carroll was going to be fired if he didn't leave. I mean, the sanctions that came down were gigantic. Pete
right.
Carroll would not have survived that. Whether he
got out of town at the last possible moment.
Pete right. Carroll, but I don't think he knew the sanctions were coming. It's just very interesting, you know, going back and looking at it. He was always interviewing for pro jobs and looking for control every offseason. And Pete Carroll's got a lot of self-confidence. And finally, one came along that gave him the control he wanted, and it just happened to be the same year that the sanctions came down. I mean, those investigations went on for like 4 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, would Kiffin have been hireable in the same way had Pete Carroll been fired as opposed to just left, you know? I don't know. It's interesting with USC. He should have never been hired at USC or Tennessee, for that matter. I just don't think he was ready.
I think that's true.
He needed an FAU.
And I think, honestly, he would probably say that if he was on this show right now. I mean, he does seem to be, I think, Lane Kiffin, having been through some of those fires, I think he's self-aware now of the flaws that he had when he was younger. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, and I don't blame him. I mean, both Sarkisian and Kiffin had to knife one of the great coaches, Norm Chow, you know, with Pete Carroll, sort of like Caesar, in a very Shakespearean kind of way that played out after the Oklahoma BCS championship game in Miami. Suddenly they just kind of came for Norm Chow. And for Kiffin, that was one thing. You know, him and Norm were getting in kind of verbal altercations on the field and stuff. But Sarkisian was a football coach because of Norm Chow. You know, Norm Chow was Steve's coach at BYU. Steve was coaching high school baseball when Norm called him to be the quarterback coach at USC because Pete hired him there. And I don't know if Sarkisian and Chow have ever mended their relationship. And that's unfortunate.
Can you come back, by the way, because I want to continue this story, and I'm looking down and I'm recognizing we got to go to break.
Well, you know, it's because you asked me about all that reality TV show.
Well, I know. And there's people out there complaining, but we got more to get to. Are you still good?
Sure.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
We're still talking to Petros Papadakis at the Old P. You can listen to him at 570 AM LA Sports, the wildly successful Petros and Money Show. And we're talking to telling a story about the decisions and kind of the drama surrounding SC with Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian. And it's like everybody's connected to SC in some way. Obviously, Coach O, all those guys overlap. But I want to say this, too. You told me something really prescient, I thought, years and years ago. When I started coming out to L.A., right? Because I was out, but you could actually travel. I was out in L.A. quite a bit. We were doing the, you know, Fox Sports Live, the evening show, and we were hanging out, having a good time. And you were like, got to be careful in L.A. because it will destroy some people's lives, right? Like, they everybody's doing fine, and then they get caught up in kind of that L.A. scene, and you can lose yourself, right?
You get turned out.
Right? I mean, L.A., you've seen it happen a lot to people who come to L.A. It's a different universe.
Right. I have for many years. They get turned out like hookers. And it's just how it is. And it eats people, a lot of people up, and they just leave. You know, they're here for a couple of years. And, you know, they think they got it cracking, and they leave. You know, most people think they come to L.A., and they get on TV, and that's it. You know, they've made it. They, you know, they've now reached some kind of pinnacle. And perhaps that's true, but it certainly doesn't mean that Steven Spielberg's inviting you over for lunch and, you know, Jimmy Kimmel's calling you and texting you every other day. And just in Los Angeles, the thirst is so palpable. And the desperation is such a stinky cologne that if you're kind of from here, like I am, and you sort of grew up seeing the thing play itself out over and over again, you know, with college football players or customers in my father's restaurant and everything in between, now that I'm a media guy, it's just kind of funny. I mean, I remember, like, you guys talking about what club you were going to go to that night and, you know, which movie star was going to be there. And, you know, for me, and everybody hated me, right? I'd just be like, you guys suck. You guys are completely and totally getting the wrong idea about this city. You have no idea who actually lives here. I mean, and everybody, I remember Coy Wire being like, why are you such a dark cloud? Why are you always down on everybody's good time? And I remember saying, because your good time's a freaking fake. Your good time is a facade. This place isn't real.
By the way, but really fun times. But my life has not spiraled out of control yet that I'm aware of. But yes.
No, you were fine. You knew how you've handled your business. You would come in and stay at a hotel and use the time to sleep because you had young
phenomenal.
Kids at home.
Phenomenal. Blackout curtains are the great. When you have young kids, I've talked about this before. I would have gotten on a plane to fly to L.A. just to get into a hotel room and be able to put the blackout curtains on. Like, just like, there's nobody who can wake me up, right? Like, that's the greatest thing in my life. Get in a hotel room bed and nobody can wake me up. I put the do not disturb and nobody's there to bother me.
Yeah, I'd pray for a night game every once in a while if I was on the road for football. You know, you just sleep all day.
Sleep in, just chill,
yeah,
yes.
And,
oh, yeah.
And call a football game. But, yeah, it's kind of funny to watch kind of Los Angeles play out over and over again with different people around town and what they think, you know, quote-unquote, making it is or who's cool to be around. I'm obviously the most uncool person in the city. And once I started to embrace that.
I think actually when I was there, the two of us combined were quite the combo.
Yeah. Well, once I started to embrace the fact that, you know, there was nothing happening that I actually needed to be at, it really freed up my life to feel a lot better about myself on a daily basis. But
all right. So to get back to your story,
Sarkisian was from here, though. Like,
yeah, right.
Sarkisian is from Los Angeles. Like, his problems were not Los Angeles related. Lane's, you could probably argue that was more the case. But, you know, Los Angeles turned out Jim Mora. You know, look what happened to him. You don't have to go too deep into it. But, I mean, a lot of these guys just come here, whether they're coaches or broadcasters, and get chewed up and then spit back into some other part of the country, mostly Detroit.
We're talking to Petros Papadakis at the Old P. So should we move you to Wednesday for the new Bachelor Report?
Yeah, I mean, if you want. I don't have any.
Or should we do it? What day of the week do you think is best for the, that's what I'm saying. Right now, we've only got three football games left, right? We got the AFC and the NFC Championship on Sunday, and then we've got the Super Bowl in a couple weeks after that. And this is,
you could put a vote up. You know, I mean, you have a powerful Twitter presence, and, you know, I mean, it's a good week to get away from politics probably for you guys. So, I mean, I would say, you know, you could just put a poll up, because I could be ready on a Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
Theoretically. However,
which day would you most like to hear Petros? Because immediately you know what's going to happen when I tag you. There's going to be a lot of people saying, no day, sucks. I never want to hear you. That's part of the fun. Yeah. All right. I will put up a poll. That's what we will do.
Now, look, I can go all out for you and, you know, give you access to my clips and get all cozy with your guys and play you clips and do a real report for you. I mean, you pay me to come on. So if you really want to put me to work,
I can pay you? I didn't even know that. Yeah. Well, that's good.
Oh, very lucrative. I get a princely sum here.
That's excellent. All right. We're going to decide which day to put Petros on. You can tweet me, hashtag OutKick, and at the
OP. Well, you have to put up a vote.
I know, but you can also go ahead and start vote. I will put up the poll question. I will put up the poll question on as soon as we finish the show today. People can go vote. I'll allow you to retweet it as well, and we will decide which day the Bachelor Report should be now that football is basically over. And Petros is going to bring all the bells and whistles. He's going to seduce us with his incredible array of talent and Bachelor fun.
Oh, I'm going to Bachelor you.
Yeah. All right. All right. That's what's coming. How's LeBron, by the way?
He's pretty good, I guess.
Yeah, he's pretty good at basketball, evidently. Who knew?
The Clippers, they both have won a lot of games.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's about as much interest as I have in January NBA basketball, too. So, Bachelor Report will be coming from Petros. We will talk to you next week. We'll decide which day that's going to be. A lot of excitement out there. Get ready to go vote in the poll. Good stuff as always, Petros.
Thank you. Fight on.
Fight on, indeed. V for victory. This is OutKick. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We'll be back tomorrow. Same bad time, same bad channel on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of OutKick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.